We're going to be starting from the beginning of Torah Mem Vav, Mitzvah Shem, Likutei Moran, Chapter 46, Mechoas Chaf Bishas HaTfila, the topic of clapping hands during davening, when a person is davening, whether it's personal prayer, or Shachris Min Chamarev, or a person is saying Tehillim. Ze Bechinas Nesinas Hamito Bein Tzofen L'Dorim. This is tied into the concept of placing one's bed between north and south. And we'll see in a minute, there's a famous Gemara, where the Gemara says that one of the rabbis prayed that his bed should be between north and south. And Rabbi Nizal shows us now, Kimito Hainu Bechinas Zivug. The bed represents the concept of mating. Bechinas Tfila, which is also the concept of Tfila. Tfila also is bringing about the union between Hashem and the Jewish people. The Tzofoin Vedoroim and north and south represent the two hands, the right hand and the left hand. The right is always referred to as south, the left is referred to as north, because we picture a person facing eastward. So Rabbi Nizal says now, V'zeh shehispalel Abba Binyamin, and this is why the Gemara tells us in Brachas, that one of the rabbis, Abba Binyamin, prayed, he asked for two things in his prayer, that his bed should be between north and south, and that his tefillah should be close to his bed, meaning, Hainu shelo yeh hefresh bein hatefillah lazivug, meaning, that there should be no separation between tefillah and the union, the concept of mating. That just like mating is a union between male and female that leads to bringing a child into the world, so too our tefillah is the union between Hashem and the Jewish people, which is intended to generate Shefa. So Rabbi Nizal says here that the concept of clapping hands is this concept of bringing together the north and south, which we saw in the Gemara there. Abba Binyamin had said that he prayed that his bed should be between north and south. Okay. In the Gemara there, when it speaks about the tefillah should be close to his bed, it meant that he should daven as early in the morning when he gets up. But here Rabbi Nizal is using this to represent the concept of the tefillah being having the same power as zivug, a marital union. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Gam al yedei mechoas kaf, we're in the middle of chapter 46. Gam al yedei mechoas kaf, nimtokin hadinim. By a person clapping hands during tefillah, this helps to sweeten, harsh, and eliminate any harsh judgments or decrees. And now Rabbi Nizal is going to go into a little bit of Kabbalah based on the writings of the Arizal, to show how this is accomplished by clapping hands during tefillah. Ki yesh shalosh havayos. There are three formats of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which are, when we write Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, we write each letter as a word, so that Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, the way we pronounce it. He is spelled He Yud. Vav is spelled Vav Yud Vav. And the last hey again, hey yud. That's one of the formats, which is called Ayin Beis, 72. It adds up to a gematria of 72. Then there's sog, which is the same as the first one, the only difference being that the vav, instead of being vav yud vav, it's vav aleph vav. And then there's mo, where the yud vav, it's yud vav dalet, hey aleph, vav aleph vav, and hey aleph. These three combinations of Hashem's name Yudke Vavke, Shehem Bechina Sholosh Yodayim, which correspond to the three hands. Now we know that there are two hands, Yad HaGdoyla, Yad HaChazoka, the right hand, which is called Gedoyla, Yad HaChazoka, the left hand, Yad Horoma refers to the combination of right and left. The Yad Yamin Ze Yad HaGdoyla, the Yad Smoil Ze Yad HaChazoka. Ubishas hakoh, kshenischabrim yachad, when the two hands are clapped together, they join together, ze bechinas yad romo. That is called yad romo. Now these terms are used throughout the Torah. We find in many places in the Torah, it speaks about Vayar Yisrael's Hayad Hagdoila Asher Osa Hashem Mitzrayim. And it says, Ki Beyod Chazoko Hotziachom Mitzrayim. And then it also speaks about Uvrei Yisrael Yoitzim Biyad Romo. All three of these terms are used throughout the Torah. Yad Hagdoila, Yad Chazoko, Yad HaRomo. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, based on the writings of the Arizal, that the term Yad Hagdoila refers to the right hand. Yad HaChazoka refers to the left hand, and the term Yad HaRoma refers to the combination of both, when they're both brought together. V'hadiburim hayoitzim hem yoitzim me'agorim. When a person davens, the words are coming out of their throat. And we know that the throat, the word goroin, gematria sholosh po'omim elokim. The Hebrew word goroin, which has a numerical value of 259, is bigematria 3 times 86, with the plus 1 for the kolel. And we know that Hashem's name Elokim represents din, gevura, tzimtzum, constriction, the opposite of chesed. And the throat represents tzimtzum. It's a very constricted place. So the goroin represents midas hadin, gevurois, harshness, judgment. The word goroin is bigematria 3 times elikim, and the Arizal says that the way that we sweeten, the way that we counter the 3 elokims is with 3 havayas, 3 times yudke vavke, which are represented by the right hand, the left hand, and joining them together when we clap. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, v'ze pirush nafshi bechapi somit. With this, we could understand the Pasuk in Tehillim, which says that my soul is always in my hand. And then the continuation of that Pasuk we're going to see later is, V'soiroscha loy shachachti, and I did not forget your Torah. Rabbeinu Zal is going to expound now on this entire Pasuk. Nefesh zebchinas dibur. The word nefesh, which means soul, also means speech. As it says in Shir HaShirim, Nafshi Yotzo Bedabroi, my soul comes forth when I speak. Hainu Bechinas Tfila. This refers to Tfila, which is called an outpouring of the soul. Hishtapchus HaNefesh. Kamei Shekosuv, as we find in a different Pasuk, the Pasuk says, Toireif Nafshoi Biapoi, that a person tears up his soul with his anger. And the Gemara in Brachas shows that that pasuk is referring to a person tearing up his tefillah, chas v'shalom, if he does certain things wrong. So we see that nefesh is synonymous with dibur and tefillah. So when the pasuk says, nafshi bechapi, my nefesh, my dibur is in my hands, haynu bechinas mechoas kaf. This refers to a person adding the clapping of hands during tefillah. And through that, I'm zeicher that I do not forget your Torah. The first letters of these three words, v'soyroscho loy shachachti, spell the word sholev, shin lamed vav, which is 336, which is the gematria of 3 times yudke vavke plus 3 times elokim. Hainu hamtokas hadinim. This reflects the sweetening and the elimination of the harsh decrees of the judgments. Because again, Elokim, Hashem's name Elokim, represents judgment or decrees. We know that in Parshas Mishpatim, which we had recently, it refers to a judge as Elokim. So Elokim means judgments. And we've seen that the goroin, the throat, which is a place of constriction, we know that when people get sick, very often it's the throat area. The throat represents 3 times Elokim. And the Arizal says, we neutralize the 3 Elokims with 3 Yudke Vavkes. And now Rabbeinu Zal told us that the 3 Yudke Vavkes represent the right hand, the left hand, and the joining of them together in clapping. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to clarify this much more now as we go on. Gam ikar hashikcha hu mimoichin dekatnus. we mentioned that the pasuk said, "Nafshi bechapi samid," my soul or my prayer is in my hands. V'soyroscha loy shachochti, and I do not forget the Torah. Rabbi Nisal says now that forgetting Torah, that comes from moichin de katnus. Gam ikra hashikcha humi moichin de katnus. When a person forgets things that they should not forget, when a person forgets Torah or holiness, gam ikra hashikcha humi moichin de katnus. The whole concept of a person forgetting their Torah or forgetting anything that they shouldn't forget comes from a place of constricted consciousness, mebechinas Elokim, which is associated with Hashem's name Elokim, which represents judgment, harshness, constriction. Ukeshemamtik es Elokim bekapov, and when a person sweetens the Elokim through the clapping of hands, al yidezeh v'soyroscha loy shachachti, that will ensure that the person will not forget their Torah. V'ze pirush, and this is also tied in to a different pasuk. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, again at the end of Yoshev B'Seser Elyon, I believe it's chapter 91 in Tehillim, where it says, Ki vi choshak va'afaltehu, because he yearns for me, and I will rescue him, I will save him. And the Arizal explains that the words Ki vi have a numerical value of 42. Hainu sholosh pa'omim yad, which represents three times the word yad. Yad is 14. Three times yad is 42. Bigematria membeis. Shenizgale hacheshek shebalev bayodayim. We know that when a person gets very excited and happy about something, the happiness and the yearning in the heart is expressed sometimes in the hands, in the clapping of the hands, or lifting the hands up towards Hashem. V'ze b'chinas mechoas kapayim, this is the concept of clapping hands, which is also a revelation and an expression of this deep yearning for Hashem that's reaching into the hands of the person. Al yidei ze va'afaltehu. And Hashem says, you know what I'll do when a person davens that way? When a person davens with such excitement that their hands are in it. Through that, I will rescue him. I will save him. Bechinas hamtokas hadinim. This again represents the concept of sweetening of all judgments, eliminating harsh decrees. Next. Gam al yidei mechoas kaf mevatel hamachloikis. The act of clapping hands in tefillah also helps to eliminate strife. Ki kol hamachloikes nimshochim mebchinas koirach al aharon. Because all types of strife and machloikes is tied into the original machloikes between Korach and Aharon HaKohen. That Korach staged his whole rebellion because he was jealous, he was upset, that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed his brother as the Kohen Gadol, number one, and then the straw that broke the camel's back was when Korach was bypassed and Moshe Rabbeinu appointed his nephew, Elitzofan ben Uziel, also to a position of leadership. So Korach staged a whole rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Shehem Bechinas Smola V'Yamina. And we know that all the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Aharon HaKohen, the Kohen represents the right hand, the Levi is the left hand. The Kohen represents Chesed, the Kohen is the one who gives the bracha to Bnei Yisrael, Koi Sivorachu es Bnei Yisrael. The Levi represents Midas Hadin, judgment, Givura, V'kidashto es Halevim, V'tiharto es Halevim. Kedusha Taro, which is a concept of tzimtzum, constriction. And the Levi was supposed to be subservient to the Kohen. The left is supposed to be subservient to the Kohen. Validei mechoas kaf. And by clapping hands, nichlolim smoil biyamin. We're joining together the left and the right. The left is being included into the right. Viyamin bismoil. And the right is joining the left. Venasim achdus. And this generates unity, which is the opposite of machloikis. So Rabbeinu Zal tells us that by clapping hands in tefillah, this is one of the things that can help bring about achdus, unity, the opposite of machlokas. Yes, the question was just asked, Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Levi, and does that mean that he was subservient to Aaron HaKohen? The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu was an exception to the rule. We say sometimes there's an exception that proves the rule. Moshe Rabbeinu was above everything. And therefore, even Aharon HaKohen was subservient to him. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you will be the one to speak to Paroi. Aharon HaKohen will be your assistant. He will assist you. Because you'll be the leader. Aharon HaKohen will speak, you know, he'll represent you, that kind of thing. But in general, usually, when we talk about Kohen and Levi, the Kohen is the higher one. The Kohen represents Chesed. The Levi represents Gevura, which is supposed to be subservient to the Kohen. The Kohen also represents the concept of the Tzaddik. The Levi represents the students of the Tzaddik. In Hebrew, the word Levi means attached. Hanil v'meilov means those who are attached to him. The relationship between rabbi and student is also referred to sometimes as Kohen and the Levium that serve him. Let's continue. Veze pirush, and this is also tied into another pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, Heiru berokov tevel ro'aso, that Hashem's lightning lit up the sky, lit up tevel, lit up the world. And the earth sees this and trembles. Rabbeinu Zal says now that the word tevel also represents this concept of clapping hands. Because, ze bechinas mechoas kapayim, ki yemin ze ayin beis. Because the right hand, as we mentioned earlier, the right hand represents chesed. Chesed is bigimatria 72, ayin beis. Usmoil, the left hand, represents Givura, ze resh yud vav. Givura is 216, which is resh yud vav. Val yedei shenichlolim ze bo ze, and by the right hand and left hand joining together with each other, naseh shnei pa'omim riv. This generates a double riv. Resh yud vav, we said, is Givura. 216 is Givura. Now, don't get confused. We said a moment ago that the right hand is chesed, the left hand is gvura. Now you're telling me when they join together, it's going to generate a double gvura? Watch, Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain this. And two times riv, two times 216, is bigimatria tevel, which is 432. Now, why are we having two rivs? I thought it was ayin beis and riv. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, because the right hand, which we said represents chesed, which represents the Kohen, which is 72, the right hand is also 216 sometimes. Kigam ayin beis shehu yamin, because the 72, which represents the right hand, yesh boi sholosh pa'omim ayin beis. There are really three 72s in there, which is Bigimatria Resh Yud Vav, Bigimatria 216. What are the three Ayin Beis? Zebechinas, Kohen Godoil, the Kohen Hedyet, Usigan HaKohen. We find in the Torah, when it discusses the Kohen Godoil came with two assistants. And in certain instances, they were able to take over his position, to assist him or even replace him. So we have a Kohen Godol, we have Kohen Hedyot, and we have Sigan HaKohen, the assistant Kohen. So we see that Kohen is three slots. It's three times 72, which equals 216. And therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said, when we bring together the right hand, which is the Kohen, with the left hand, we're actually bringing together two of these 216s, which makes Tevel. Validei shenisroya tevel, and by generating this tevel, haynu mechoas kapayim, by clapping hands, alidei ze heiru verokov, the lightning bolts shine forth. What does lightning bolt represent? Nistakein hamachloikis. This brings about a tikkun, a correction of machloikis, of strife, hanikra borok, which is sometimes referred to as lightning. Kama shekosuv, as the pasuk says, vayetze kaborok chitzoi, that his lightning bolt went forth like an arrow. V'chetz loshen machloikis. And we know that the word chetz, which means arrow, also means strife. Kama shekosuv, as it says by Yosef HaTzadik, vayistemuhu ba'alei chitzim, that the Targum on Bale Chitzim says, Bale Palgusa, the Bale Machlokis, his brothers, who were at that time Bale Machlokis, they were encouraging strife, Machlokis between them, they made him their target, Vayistemuhu Bale Chitzim. So we see that Chetz represents Machlokis, Borok is compared to Chetz, and Rabbeinu Zal says that when we generate Tevel, Heiru Varokov, we shine light into the Borok. We shine light into the Machlokis, meaning we change the Machlokis. We get rid of Machlokis. We turn it into peace. We mitigate the Machlokis. Vezeh Pirush. And this is why the Pasuk says in Tehillim, when it speaks about unity, it says, Kol Ho'amim Tikul Chof. All nations will join hands together. Loshen Hischaprus. Here we see, again, that the hands represent unity, joining together. Ki shnei pa'omim ayin beizriv bigematria tikuchof. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, because when you take 72 and 216, 72 is chesed, 216 is gevura. 72 is the right hand, 216 gevura is the left hand. Two times them is Bigimatria 576, which is Tiku. This joining together, this Hischabrus, this union, the opposite of Machloikis. Now, up to here was Rabbeinu Zal's words. Rab Nosson Zal now is going to make this clearer and easier to us. Rab Nosson Zal says, because of the fact that before I copied over this shir from Rabbeinu Zal's handwriting, which is what we just presented, I first wrote it over in my own words based on how I understood it when I heard it from him. And because of the fact that in my version, my original version, some of the things are a little bit clearer, I therefore chose to include that also. I copied that in also. And both versions, Rabbeinu Zal's version, which is what we did just now, and the version Rab Nosson Zal is going to give us of his own notes, both together, they complement each other and they clarify the whole topic. So now let's go through Rab Nosson Zal's version of this, where he's going to make some things a little bit clearer than we had it before. Any questions before we start? The answer is yes. Out of all 400 or so chapters in Likutei Moran, this happens about two or three times only. And he's not going to repeat the whole thing. He's just going to give us part of it, and you're going to see he's going to add some things that make it clearer. In Rabbeinu Zal's written version of the Torah, Rabbeinu Zal did not have it. Yes. I remember hearing from Rabbi Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, my rabbi, that there are two interpretations of this Gemara. One interpretation is that what he meant when he said, my bed should be between east and west, he meant like we said here, meaning that the head should face south and the feet north. And that's what the interpretation of between east and west. There is another interpretation which says that when he said my bed should be between east and west, he meant like what you said, that he meant that the head, I believe that the head should be to the east and the feet to the west. There are definitely two interpretations in halacha and in Kabbalah about what this means. Both are valid interpretations. But generally, generally, when we speak about praying, when we pray, we face, you know, again, depending on where you are in the world, facing towards Eretz Yisrael, those that are in America, for example, facing Israel means facing eastward. It's the Middle East we talk about, you know, in terms of Eretz Yisrael. And we talk about the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, you know, that concept. Okay, let's continue. Inyan HaKoas Kaf Al Kaf Beis HaTfilah, regarding clapping hands during the time of tefillah. Kosuv Bepriyetz Chaim, and here's something that Rab Nosson Zal adds, which Rabbeinu Zal did not mention. The Arizal writes in his Sefer Priyetz Chaim, where he discusses the Shmon Esrei, that there's a pasuk in Iyov which says, Sholev Hoyisi Vayifar Pareini. I was at peace, I was in a state of tranquility. Sholev means like shalva. Vayifar Pareini. And Hashem crumbled me. He shattered me like. The Arizal says, Sholev Bigimatria Gimel Havayas Vigimel Elikim. The word sholev, which has a numerical value of 336, is the numerical value of the combination of three times yudke vavke and three times elokim, which means, as we mentioned earlier, okay, let's continue. The roshei tevois shel v'yoseim lecho sholoim bigimatria sholev. And in addition, in the blessing that the Kohanim give to the Jewish people, where they say, may Hashem place peace upon you, the first letters of that bracha, V'yoseim lecha sholem, spell that word sholev, shin lamed vav, dahainu shegimel pomim havaya, mamte gimel oikim. What this is broadcasting to us, this is broadcasting a message to us, that there's these three Elokims, which represent three levels of harshness. We know that the minimum Jewish court is three judges. Three judges is three Elokims. That's a place of judgment, harshness, constriction, din, midas hadin. And three times Elokim, we had shown before, was bigimatria goroin, the throat, which is a place of constriction. And to neutralize that, we neutralize the three Elokims with three Yud-Kei-Vav-Keis. The three Yud-Kei-Vav-Keis were representing the three hands, as he goes on to explain now. Kiyesh Gimel Yodayim, because there are three terms used in the Torah about the hands. Yad HaGdoila, V'yad HaChazoka, V'yad HaRoma. V'hein, and they are Yad HaYamin Hu Yad HaGdoila. The right hand is referred to as Yad HaGdoila. Yad HaSmoil is referred to as Yad HaChazoka. Val Yidei Chavukas HaYodayim. And by joining the hands together, Nase Yad HaRoma. It generates Yad HaRoma. V'alkein, and therefore, Kishemake Kaf Al Kaf, when a Jew claps one hand on the other, Umechaber HaYodayim Batfila, and he joins the hands together during tefillah, nimtokin hadinim. This helps to sweeten and eliminate judgments, decrees. Kiyod hu bechinas havaya. Now again, Rav Nosson Zal adds, he fills in some missing information. The word yad, which means hands, the word yad represents Hashem's name yud kei vav kei. Why? Because the word Yad is made up of two letters, a Yud and a Dalid. Yud Oisiois, V'Dalid Oisiois. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei can either be 10 letters or 4 letters. In its simplest form, Yud Hei Vav Hei is 4 letters. But when you fill out the letters, the way we did before, Yud Vav Dalid, Hei Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hei Yud, it's 10 letters. The milui of yud kei vav kei, when you spell each letter as a word, it's 10 letters. So that the Hebrew word yad, which is a yud and a dalid, is symbolic of Hashem's name yud kei vav kei, which has these two formats. In its simplest form, it's 4 letters. In a more advanced form, it's 10 letters. Val Yedei Gimel Hayodayim, and by generating the three hands, the right hand, the left hand, and joining them together, Shehu Gimel Havayos, which is generating three Yud Kei Vav Keis, Nimtokin HaGimel Elokim. Through that, we sweeten and we counteract the three Elokims, Sheheim Hadinim Hayotzim Mehagoroin, which are the judgments which emerge from the throat. Shehu Bigematria Gimel Elokim. The term Goroin is Bigematria three times Elokim. So Rav Nosson Zal added a few little pieces of information here that clarify this. Now he touches on the other point about forgetting, because we had quoted the pasuk Nafshi Bechapi Samid V'Soyrochscha Loi Shachachti. My soul, my work, my tefillah is in my hands, and I don't forget your Torah. Rav Nosson Zal says V'Hu Segula L'Sikoroin, that clapping hands during davening is something that can also help a person be able to remember their Torah better. As the pasuk says, Nafshi Bechapi Samid, Nafshi Hainu Bechinas Tfila. The term Nafshi represents Tfila. Kamayshekosuv Nafshi Yotza Bedabroi. My soul comes out when I'm speaking to Hashem, referring to Tfila. Bechapi Samid is in my hand constantly. Hainu Kishemake Kaf Al Kaf Beshas Tfila. When a person claps hands during davening, that will ensure that I will not forget your Torah. Because forgetting is a form of constricted consciousness, which is synonymous with Gevura, Din, Elokim. Ukishemamtik hadinim, and when we sweeten the din, Azaihu b'moichin degatlus. Then the person comes out of the constricted consciousness and they rise up to moichin degatlus, which is expanded consciousness. Ve'im loy shikha. And then the person will not forget. V'yalkein, and therefore the pasuk finishes, v'soyroscho loy shachachti. And I do not forget your Torah. And we said that the first letters of v'soyroscho loy shachachti spell the word sholev, which is the union of the three Yudke Vavkes and the three Elokims. Dehainu al yedei shemamtik gimel Elokim begibel havayisanal, by a person sweetening the three Elokims by neutralizing them with three Yudke Vavkes, ein loy shikha. That person will not suffer from forgetfulness. Vze daika, yes. The answer is it's good, although we mentioned this before, and I reiterate, to try to be careful not to disturb somebody else's tefillah. You don't have to make noise. A person can clap hands, and they're doing it quietly, not making a loud noise that their neighbor has to hear, that kind of thing. Also true, in the story of how Rav Nosson Zal first met Rabbi Nachman, he met him, and in fact, this Torah, and the few Torahs before this and after this that we're learning on this topic, were all said when Rav Nosson Zal met Rabbi Nachman, Rav Nosson Zal being his closest student. And he met him during the month of Elul, and then he spent Rosh Hashanah with him through Yom Kippur. Then he returned back home to his hometown, Nemerov, for the holiday of Sukkot. And he had learned so much about the importance of clapping during davening and the importance about being excited about tefillah that he couldn't contain himself. He and a few of his friends were turned on to this, and they saw that they weren't being made to feel so welcome in the shul, in the regular shul. So they made their own minyan in the sukkah, it says. Rav Nosson Zal's father was wealthy. He had a beautiful home and he had a large sukkah. And they were able to get a Sefer Torah, and they made their own minyan in the sukkah with tefillah bekoach, davening with real fervor and clapping hands, and they got the full benefits of, you know, this type of tefillah. Unfortunately, many of our synagogues resemble a morgue more than a synagogue, unfortunately, people have forgotten that tefillah is supposed to be an expression of joy and happiness. A person is supposed to be elated that they're meeting with the King of Kings. There's a pasuk that says, Ki beisi beis tefillah. Hashem says, my house is a house of prayer. And it says, Vahaviosim el harkotchi, I'll bring them to my holy mountain. Visimachtim beveis tefilosi, and I will give them joy and happiness in my house of prayer. Unfortunately, many people have forgotten that, or they don't realize that, they don't know that. We who are privileged, that Rabbi Nachman enlightens us and opens our eyes about this, should be praying really with fervor, with joy and happiness, at the same time, to try not to attract attention whenever possible. Because unfortunately, that can spoil things. Sure. There is a custom among, especially among certain Sephardic groups following the Ben Ish Chai, and the Arizal is brought, wore white, 10 white garments on Shabbat. Let's just finish. We have two lines to complete this Torah. Rav Nosson Zalei is, V'zeh daiko b'shas tatfilah. And everything we're discussing here about sweetening the judgments and the Yud Kei Vav Kei and the Lukim, this is all taking place during the time of tefillah. Ki oz yoideya imhu bemoichen de katnus oy de gatlus. Because it's when a person's davening that they can measure, they can realize whether they're in a state of constricted consciousness or expanded consciousness. Ki hadibur hu his galus hamoichen. Because a person's speech, the tefillah coming out of the person's mouth, is a revelation of what's going on in his brain. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, mipiv das usvuna. From his mouth, we can recognize his intelligence, his das and tvuna. So the state of a person's moichin can be recognized through his dibur, especially his diburim of tefillah. And the Arizal, in fact, in his explanation of tefillah, shows us how during Kriya Shema and Shmoneh Esrei, that's where a person goes through a major change, a major elevation of Moichin de Gatlus. You know, coming out of Moichin de Katnus and going up to Moichin de Gatlus. With this, we conclude this chapter 46. And with this, we conclude this topic for now. We had about 4 or 5 chapters of Likut Imran on the topic of clapping hands during tefillah. With this, we conclude it right now. Any questions before we go on to the next chapter? Yes, you're the second person who suggested that, so we have to submit gladly. It's a very good idea. I'll try to share some special, beautiful things that I've heard and learned regarding Purim that can help all of us. I remember hearing from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, the Gemara says that one day a year, Yom Kippur, that day, the Satan is off limits. The Yetzirah has no power, no control, because the word HaSatan is Bigimatria 364. So 364 days of the year he has power. On Yom Kippur he doesn't. So Yom Kippur is way up there. And in fact, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Yomim Yutzaru Veloy Echod Bohem. Hashem has created days, all the days, but to him belongs one of them. And the Gemara says that refers to Yom Kippur again. The Tikkuni Zohar says, as great as Yom Kippur is, it's almost as great as Purim. In the Chumash it's called Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, a day that's like Purim. It's not equal, it's like. In fact, Purim is koilel all the holidays. It has in it elements that include all the benefits of all the different holidays. And this is reflected in the name Purim. The Pei stands for Pesach. The Vav stands for Vesukos. The Resh is Rosh Hashanah. The Yud is Yom Kippur. And the Mem is Matan Torah, which is the holiday of Shavuos. This is a remez, this is a hint to show that Purim is koilel all the holidays. The enemy on Purim was Haman, who is a descendant of Amalek. And Amalek, throughout all the Sforim, Amalek represents the opposite of Emunah, When we talk about Torah, and again, today being Zayin Adar, it's the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate leader of Klal Yisrael, the most important teaching of a Jewish leader is Emunah. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Kol Mitzvoisecha Emunah. All of the mitzvos are about faith in Hashem. And in fact, the Ramban writes in one place, the famous Ramban, that if a person does a mitzvah in the Torah for any other reason other than because Hashem said so, chas v'shalom, that's considered kfira, denial of Hashem, chas v'shalom. In other words, the whole Torah, the whole Yiddishkeit is about believing in Hashem. And we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu engaged the archenemy Amalek, the pasuk says, Vayehi yodov emunah. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were outstretched in an expression of faith in Hashem. That's how he was countering Amalek. The Targum on that pasuk says his hands were outstretched in prayer. Again, going back to what we learned before about including the hands in the tefillah. This was Moshe Rabbeinu, this is Amalek. Haman, the story of Purim tells us that Haman set himself up as an idol. Everybody bowing to him, the wording in the Megillah is that everyone was Korim u'mishtachavim l'Haman. They bow down to Haman. He's the new Hashem. He's the replacement, the substitute for Hashem, chas v'shalom. And the Torah tells us that because of all kinds of circumstances, because of the fact that the Jews had gone through 70 years of exile, which could be compared to sleeping for 70 years, when a person is not in their place, when they're in exile, there's a pasuk, Lochein golo ami mibli das. Therefore, my nation has been exiled without consciousness, without das. Exile is a state of unconsciousness, chas v'shalom. Like when a person goes to sleep, they just about lose consciousness. The Jews, having been in exile for 70 years, the golos of Nebuchadnezzar, means like they fell asleep for 70 years. They disconnected from all 70 channels of the Torah, and also participating in the Sud of Achashverosh, which we're going to see in the next chapter, on Likutei Moran, that we're up to. Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss this topic of eating at great length to show us how high and low a person can go when it comes to eating, when it comes to food. So the fact that they participated in the Sud of Achashverosh and all the other things that happened at the time, the Jewish people were at an incredible low, and we were in tremendous danger. And we find that Mordechai HaTzadik and Esther HaMalka, they were the ones who didn't give up, didn't quit. And Esther HaMalka is the one who said, Leich kenois eskol ha-Yehudim animsim b'shushan. The first advice that she gave when she was about to have the final showdown with Haman and Achashverosh, she said to Mordechai, Leich kenois eskol ha-Yehudim animsim b'shushan. Go gather together all the Jews in Shushan. Meaning she was making it clear that when are the Jewish people vulnerable? When there's machlokes, when there's disunity among us. And the tikkun for that is, Leich kenois eskol ha-Yehudim, gather all the Jews together. And then she said, Vetzumu alai, and fast, Val toichlu val tishtu shloish es yomim, and don't eat or drink for 3 days. This term, fasting 3 days, is mentioned in different places, and this ties into what we were just learning about, because there's 24 hours in a day, and the number 24 usually represents Midas Hadin, Gvura. There are 24 courts in heaven, Chof Dalet Batei Dinim. There are 24 letters in Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusoy Lioilam Voed. That sentence, which speaks about Hashem's kingdom, the respect for Hashem's kingdom, has 24 letters, which represent Midas Hadin, Givura. Just like Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud has 4 letters to it, which can be configured in 24 different ways. It's called the Chof Dalet Sirufei Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. 3 times 24 is Bigimatria 72, which is Chesed. And this is why we have this concept of fasting 3 days, which she said, to arouse the Midas HaChesed of Hashem, to counter the Midas HaDin, and to arouse the Midas HaChesed of Hashem. We find in the end that Mordechai and Esther Malko, through their tefillah and through arousing the Jewish people to be mispalel, they were able to turn things around completely. V'nahafachu asher yishlatu ha'yehudim heima b'sineim. Things got turned around when not only were the Jews taken out of jeopardy, but they were able to defeat their enemies, and verabim me'ame horetz misyadim, and many non-Jews came and joined, came and converted and joined Klal Yisrael. And the way that we celebrate Purim is with these nekudos, mishloach monos ish l'rayehu, sending gifts to each other, is an expression of achdus, it's an expression of unity. Usually we say, soine matonois yichye, that a person who dislikes to accept gifts, it's a very good thing. But Purim is an exception to that, where Purim, the issue of gifts, not only matonois levyoinim, not only is Purim an exceptional time of being charitable, which applies especially to poor people, wealthier giving to the poor, but mishloach monos applies to everybody. Everybody, wealthy, poor, middle class, everyone has to give and receive to show that we recognize how important this unity is, this oneness is between us. And then one most important point, the issue that Rabbeinu Zal says, that a Jew is most vulnerable to the Yetzer Hara and to the forces of Tumah when a Jew is not happy. When a Jew is in a state of atzvus, depression, unhappiness, then that person is extremely vulnerable to the forces of the Sitra Achra. And that's why on Purim, every year, when we engage Haman, Amalek, the Sforim tell us, there's a Mishnah that says, HaKoyreyes HaMegillah LeMafreya Lo Yotza, that if a Jew reads the Megillah backwards, he gets no credit for the reading of the Megillah. So the commentaries say, the word lemafreya, besides meaning backwards, also means if he reads it as a story of something that took place thousands of years ago, and not that it's taking place today, he's not really fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Because a Jew who believes in Hashem and believes in the Torah has to believe that every year on Purim, all of these issues are reactivated. Haman, Amalek, Vashti, Mordechai, Esther, all of this comes back to life. The battle takes place again, and the victory is reenacted. And we celebrate this through tremendous simcha, not just ordinary simcha, but going to an extreme, putting on costumes, drinking more than usual, all of these things, to show that we recognize the highest kiddusha is simcha. And Rabbeinu Zal teaches us that in our times, as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, it's impossible to be besimcha at certain times and to draw that simcha just from Torah and mitzvahs and tefillah. The simcha, unfortunately, has fallen into the hands of the Sitra Achra, the other side. And this is why at certain times, certain exceptional times, like Purim, we go into the other side. We go into fun. We go into a little bit of excessive drinking. We do things that are sort of out of line to express our joy and happiness, to tap into a level called mili d'shtusa, silliness, fun, which is an extreme level of simcha, because that's what helps us counter the forces of Amalek. We know that when Amalek came to attack the Jews, it says, asher korcha baderech. He happened to come upon you when you were traveling. The word korcha means happen. The word korcha is also miloshin kar, krirus, coldness. That Haman Amalek represents that force. It says when the Jews came out of Egypt, they were on fire. They were like a hot bath. They were full of hislavus. And Amalek attacked us, wanting to cool down the fire. So that Purim is a time when we counter Haman Amalek by turning up the fire, by becoming more nislahiv, more excitement, more joy and happiness, jumping, dancing, clapping, an extreme expression of this joy and happiness to hopefully wipe out, to finish the job. By Yoshua it says, Vayachlosh Yoshua, he weakened Amalek. We hope that by our celebrating Tainus Esther this week and Parsha Zohar on Shabbos, and then the 2 days of Purim, we should be zeichet to see the complete and final annihilation of Haman, Amalek, and all the real enemies of the Jews, with the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Me'erev Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.